Everyone. Looks like we have a decent number of people signed on since there were several people who said they couldn't make it today. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Awesome. And I should be sharing my screen so that hopefully everybody can see the meeting notes on the screen. I will try to keep track of chat as I go along here. But if I miss something in chat, if someone is just willing to unmute, that would be fantastic. Or also, people are more than welcome to unmute and ask questions as I go along today. So if everybody is willing to add their names to the attendees today, that would be fantastic. Corey, I saw that you volunteered to take notes today, so thank you. I appreciate you doing that. Does anybody else have any announcements or things they want to say before we hop into today's topics? All right. Then I guess I will dive right in for lists. And so, if you've either been able to attend or listen to some of the recordings for any of the previous list sessions, I've been talking about a feature that we've been working on, which is a Trillium feature where we have a series of new APIs that can be used to create user-defined entity types, in other words, records that show up in the list app. And so today, what I thought I would do was take just a little bit of time and actually do a live demo walking through that process, creating a custom entity type so that I can show what that looks like. If people have questions, we can answer those. And then so that if people are interested, you can go in on Snapshot and play with the thing that we are going to create. I have also included a link here in the agenda to two UATs or user acceptance testing that I'm running right now. The first one, the technical API one, I'm going to be walking through those flows right now so that everybody can see them. The other one is a workflow-based one that is includes some mockups just to give an idea of what the workflow is. And that one is meant to be non-technical for those who want to be able to participate, but an API might be too much for you. So I guess let me pause for a moment. Is everybody on the call at least somewhat familiar with the idea of custom entities or records that can be created in the list app? Okay, I see at least one thumbs up. Please feel free to ask questions if not, as we go along. Gonna just make sure. Can everybody see Postman now on my screen? Hopefully, I have shared it in a way that you can see that. Okay, perfect. This Postman collection is linked from the documentation, and it has all of the requests that are needed for this for the Eureka snapshot environment. And so when you open that Postman collection, it brings you to the main collection here. And then, if I click on each of the endpoints, it'll give you an overview of that endpoint or collection of endpoints. And then when you click on the actual individual call, so like in this case, it's going to be a post. If I open that a little bit more, I can actually see here that there have been three sample requests included. So you can see like what was passed into the body up here, what the response looked like. Same for these examples. You can see what was passed into the body and example response. And that is the same for all of these endpoints, both the available joins, which is where we'll start, as well as actually creating a custom entity type. So, for those of you not familiar with APIs, the first thing I need to do is just to get a token for this environment for my calls. So I have that down here in the collection just for ease of access. So I just hit send. And then I am just going to copy this token. And I'm going to use it in my available joins. I'm just going to paste it here in the header. Here under the exocopy token. In the body of this first request, and this endpoint is the available joins endpoint. I'm going to zoom in a little bit, see if I can make it just a smidge bigger. This available joins will tell you all of the record types or pieces of data that are available for use in the ListApp or FQM. And so in this first example, we're just going to pass an empty body to see what it is going to return. So if I see here, it's got a 200 OK response, and it's going to send back a whole list of available target IDs. So an available target ID is essentially a piece of data or a record that is available in FQM, which again is Folio Query Machine, or the ListApp. So these are all of the little individual pieces of data that can be combined together. These are all the pieces that are used to make the record types that show up in the ListApp right now. And these are also all of the pieces that are available to users to create their own custom entity types or record types in the ListApp. And so if we scroll through here, you can see there's a huge long list of them. And each one has a label, which is, just their friendly name, the value, which is the ID, and then a description. Some of the descriptions are more helpful than others. We're trying to get those added as we go along. For the demo today, I'm going to do instances, and I'm going to combine those with SRS records. So I'm just searching for instance here. Okay, and so I can see here, right here, here's the response for instances. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to send a new request. Second here to get. I'm just going to copy over base information that we'll use for a source. Okay, so now that we have, I apologize, I mute real quick for the dog. Okay, sorry about that. My dog is very excited about instances, apparently. Okay, so I've pasted in. And I'm glad that Zoom does a good job muting out the dog because she is very loud on my end. So I've pasted in this sort of base source. And so what I'm going to do now is just populate it with some info about instances. So I'm just going to change this simple name placeholder to simple instances so that I remember what it is. The name is what eventually it will be called. When you open up the ListApp with it. So in this case, I'm just going to call it instance. The target ID, I'm going to take that from instances right here. This, where it has the value with that ID, I'm just going to copy that. I'm going to paste that in as my target ID. And then I'm just going to add a comment here to myself to help me remember. That this is for simple instances. Because sometimes if you work with too many of these IDs, it gets confusing and it's easy to get mixed up. So now with this body for my request, I'm going to send this again to available joins. And what it's going to do is it's going to only return record types that are able to be joined with instance records, which is the source that I included here. And so we can see here we've got holdings, instance date type, instance status name, instance type, purchase order lines, simple folio users. So we've got a variety of record types that can be joined here. And so that's what happens if you pass in a source to your available joins. So let's say in this example, I actually want to make a record type that combines instances and SRS bibliographic data. So now I can do one last call to available joins. And what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to add an additional property here, and which is target ID. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that ID from the SRS record. I'm going to paste it up here. And I'm just going to note for myself that this is my SRS record. And then now, when I send this request again, what it's going to do this time is it's going to look for any fields where instances and SRS records can be joined. In the event that there are multiple combinations, they would be returned here so that you'd be able to see them. In this case, we can see that there is one field that they can be joined on. So the simple instances ID joins to the external ID. So this is the sort of the first step, which is figuring out what data you want to join and how it can potentially join. And so that's the purpose of the available joins endpoint. The next endpoint that I'm going to show is how you take what we just found here and use it to actually create your custom entity type. And so we're going to need these fields here in this response in just a moment. So I'm going to go ahead and click this, which is the post to create a custom entity type. I'm just going to replace this body, just for the sake of this example, with placeholder terms, just so that I can show where I got everything that I'm going to be using here. In this initial create response, I'm going to leave the ID blank. That way, I don't have to come up with a valid UUID. The system will create it for me. I'm going to go ahead and name this. We're going to call this test. And this is going to be instance with SRS. I'm going to include a description here. Okay. And then the shared false. What that means is right now I'm logged in just as the admin in the system. And so that is the user who is creating this. If I was logged in as my own user and I did not want other users to be able to access this, I would keep this as false. If I wanted everybody at my institute who had otherwise appropriate permissions to be able to access this, I would change this to true. Private, when we have false here under private, it means that it is going to appear in the list app. If you have private true, then it will not be available for users in the list app. So essentially, that just determines if you can access it in the list app or if it's only API. Okay, so for my sources, I'm going to go back to my available joins call real quick. And I'm actually going to copy that first source that I had, which is for simple instances. And I'm going to put it right here. And that way it's got the basic information for my instance records. For this next one, because we didn't really fully populate it for SRS records, I'm going to call this one simple SRS. I apologize again. I need to step away just for one moment. Okay, apologies for that. And then so I'm going to provide a name for that, those SRS records. And so in this case, I'm just going to call it my SRS bibliographic. Okay, for my target ID, I'm going to go back again to my available joins and I'm going to copy that ID for SRS records. This is where I find it's helpful to have those little comments so that I can remember what the those unique identifiers are for. And I don't have to try to remember which one is which. And then for my source field and my target field, those are going to be in the response here. So in this case, I'm going to see that my source field here is going to be this. So we're just going to come over here and we're going to paste that into our source field. For our target field, we're going to do the same thing and just copying that value. And pasting it over. And then I'm going to, before I send this request, I'm just going to get a new token just in case that previous one expired. And then I'm going to put it in the header of this request. And so just to look at it again, so I'm creating a new record called test instance with SRS. Let's go ahead and click send. All right, so we got a 201 created, which means that it was created su successfully here. If I look here, it created that ID for me, so I didn't have to create a unique identifier for this. And it also will respond with a bunch of other fields that it populates by default that you don't have to do in your requests. So at this point, I have created this new record type. It is only available for my user, which in this case is DQ admin, and it is not private, so it should appear in the list app. So at this point, anybody should be able to log in to Eureka Snapshot. I put the link to that in the agenda. And when we go to create a new record, when I choose my record type, I scroll down here. Can see there's going to be a variety of ones with tests, but the one that I just created here is test instance with SRS. And when I click build query, you're going to see it opens the query builder. And you can see it's got a bunch of instance fields that are available because that was the first source that I added, which was instances. And then if I scroll down even further, you're going to see the second source I called SRS bibliographic. And so it has included a bunch of fields from that source as well. So in this case, I'm just going to do instance source. We'll do mark, and we'll just do a quick test. And so we can see here it does return instance records. So each individual row is going to be an instance record. And it includes some of that SRS bibliographic data with it as well. These are just the columns that it returns by default, but we can come in here and select or deselect columns that we are not interested in seeing. I'm going to pause real quick and see if anybody has questions so far with what I'm showing. Okay, so one thing that I wanted to highlight with this demo is just this is a common use case that I think people are going to experience. And so while this is returning instances with MARC records, if I change this to Folio and test my query, you're going to see that I get no results. Happen to know that there are Folio instances in this snapshot environment, so that doesn't seem quite right. So when something like this happens, it is most likely a configuration issue related to the custom entity. And so one of the most common things that I have found is that there is a certain parameter. And so I'm going to go back to Postman so that I can show this. I am actually going to, from Postman, on the post where I created, I'm going to actually just come in here and I'm going to copy the response that it gave me because that has everything about my custom entity type. And then I'm going to choose this put right here. And so this is what we use to update a custom entity. And so I'm just going to replace everything that was in there with what I copied out of the previous response. I also need to take my ID for that entity type that I just created. And so I've got my ID here, and I just need to replace it here in this URL. So now if we look, we still have our two sources. So the first one being instance, and the second one being SRS bibliographic. The thing that we actually want to change here is the override join direction. So in this case, we're going to just change it to left. And what that's going to do is it's going to make it so that this entity type will return instances, period. And if they have SRS data associated with it, then it will also return that. It's not required for them to have SRS data. So that's what the override join direction does here. And so I'm just going to real quickly get another token. And then I'm going to put this in. And then I'm also just going to make it a little bit easier to tell if this has been updated. I'm just going to add testing to my or the ING to my name to make it more obvious immediately. So now if I send this response, I have a 200 okay. And again, it's going to respond with the entity type definition here. Now, if I come back over to snapshot, I could start over, or I can just actually leave this query as it is and click test query again. Actually, let's refresh it. So that's a good example of what not to do because it says an error occurred. Okay, so we can see we've got our updated name. Going to build our query here. Let's do the source. Let's do equals and let's do folio. And more than likely, what happened here is that I have done something. incorrectly here in my the override join directions. I'm trying to see if I spot it immediately. I do not immediately see it. So let's just go back and let's just change this back to test. Make that null. And then we'll send this again. So we got a 200. Okay. Let's come back to the list app. Just going to refresh this one more time. Let's do our source. Okay, so at least we're not getting errors this time, so that's good. Let's try also source not equal to. Okay, and so it is returning a bunch of records. And I'm gonna guess, without having looked at this, I'm gonna guess that these are linked data, primarily records. So I'm just going to come back one more time to my custom entity. I'm going to try this one more time on my simple SRS. I'm just going to change this back to left. I'm going to try changing the use ID columns to false. So let's send this. Okay, so I got a 200. Okay. Refresh. Well, I've done something wrong with this, as we can see here. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I can troubleshoot it offline. But essentially, this gives the basic idea of how a custom record can be created using APIs. And then once it's created, it'll exist and anybody can use it. It can also then be updated, or if we wanted to deactivate it, we could do that as well. And I'm just going to change this back to true, just to get it so that it at least is somewhat functional in case people wanted to experiment with this on Snapshot. So it sh should turn return instances now with some SRS data. But there's either something wrong in my definition or possibly bad data on Snapshot that is causing the error. Anybody have questions about what I've shown? And that's really all I wanted to cover today. I would love to hear use cases as well, because we definitely know that not everybody is going to want to use APIs to have to create custom entities for use in the list app. So the more use cases or possible ways of joining data that we hear about, the better, so that we can add those as record types in the list app just generally. They don't have to be custom record types. But this is just an additional option that will be available as part of Trillium. So I will stop sharing and I will hand it over to Magda if nobody else has anything.
Thank you, Kathleen. This was awesome. It was really fantastic functionality. I would say that the error that you experience is related to the data that is in snapshot, because from our experience with our APMH, we noticed there are a lot of SRS records in this environment that are not linked to any folio or mark or to mark instances. So I think that may be the issue, the data. So when you troubleshoot, please start with data. That may be the problem.
Thank you, Magda. Yeah, I will do that. And I'll compare it to a working version of this that I have saved somewhere to see if there are any typos I have in this.
So let me share my screen very quickly. I have to admit, I have a new monitor, a new laptop, and I'm struggling with it a little bit. So hopefully I can at least do the share properly. And you should see the mockups. Please let me know if you do. Could someone please confirm? Oh, whoops. I'm sharing, if I'm sharing the proper screen.
We can see the Google Drive.
Yep.
Thank you. So I linked in the agenda two Jira tickets that are related to changes in the bulk edit UI. I will walk you through the mockups that Kimi has created for the functionality. It is covered by two Jiras, but it's related, and it also addresses feedback we have been receiving in UITs, in Trillium UITs, and also in the past. A first change that we will see is that once the user opens the bulk edit landing page, right now, this page is disabled, and you have to know what to do in order to proceed. The user will now get the tooltip notification that selecting the, in order to provide record identifiers, the record type needs to be selected first. We can also see that we added a new button, Reset All, that will reset the form. We'll talk about this a little bit more later. So let's say user that is not fully familiar with bulk edit lands on the bulk edit, doesn't know exactly how to proceed. There will be the tilt up, the till top. Top tool tip that will tell how to proceed. And let me think here. So now the user selected a record type, in this case, users, and record identifier field becomes a required field with the notification that is required. There are also two changes on the screen. One, there is a X button next to the record types that will reset the selection of the selected record. It's also Reset All that will do the same if we don't have anything on the main pane populated. But let's say we submitted the list of identifiers, or we run the query. We are on the query tab, and it's the same behavior. We have the Reset All button, and we run the query and matching records screen is populated. As I said, this can be done either by the submitting list of identifiers or by running a query. The query has been run, the records matching have been populated, user proceed with the entire bulk edit job. We see that 36 records have been updated. And if the user wants to start another bulk edit, clicks reset all, and that resets both panes, the main and the one with records types. That's it for the UI changes. Are there any questions or comments? Okay, then I will move to the quick overview. I see something in the chat. Let me take a look. Oh, thank you. Let's review then the feedback from our first Trillium UIT that happened in November. And let me leave it in design mode. It will be easier for me to navigate between slides. I hope it's easy for you to read. So we completed the UIT in first week of November. Here is updated review, abbreviated review. So there were 30 participants representing eight institutions participating in the UIT. Four of the participants were from EBSCO. Majority liked in general the functionality and also determined it worked as expected. However, there were some responses that on some question stated that the behavior is confusing or not clear. The majority concerns or majority of those responses were related to setting the records for deletion when the flag is set to false. The behavior, even if it's documented and it follows the behavior of inventory, it was still confusing for many participants. Two participants liked that, and one actually suggested that maybe we can add some additional notification. Here is the I will get to this once I review do the high level overview. The other point that was brought up was the fact that linked data cannot be bulk edited, especially the administrative data. In inventory, the linked data cannot be updated, but its administrative data can. Right now, bulk edit does not support that. We have a Jira for this functionality. Most likely, we will not be able to address it in Trillium, and it will be addressed in Umbrella Leaf. Other complaints were related to errors and warning accordion, especially when the bulk edit started with query, when the list of records were displayed on the query screen, and then when the user landed on bulk edit form, the warnings about the problems with the data were confusing. And one of the participants was unsure how to reset the bulk edit form, so this is what we are addressing with the reset button. But this complaint about resetting the bulk edit form is a reoccurring. We, for those who were here from the beginning, in, I think, Poppy release, we removed a button that was on the form, start new bug edit job, that was considered to be confusing, so we removed that. But what we implemented was also not very intuitive, so that's why we came up with the reset button. And here a little bit more details about the issues that were brought up. So when the records for deletion is set to false, the only column that is being changed is set for deletion. The values for suppress from discover and staff suppress do not change. The behavior is different when the set for deletion is set to true, then all suppress from discovery and staff suppress are being set to true as well. The behavior is, as I mentioned, consistent with inventory. And the reason for this is that not always the record that is not set for deletion needs to be available to staff or in discovery layer. So that it is implemented to require additional step. I documented it in the page for soft delete, how this is done in bug edit. It's under information tip and tricks for individual apps. And here is how how it is behaving, how the flags are being handled for when it's set for deletion is to true, when the flag for records setting for deletion is set to true, or what is the behavior if it's set to false. If this part of documentation is not clear, please reach out to me or add comments on the page so that we can improve and make it clear for everyone. This is the second issue mentioned, that the linked data is not being updated, the administrative data. This is what will happen in bug edit right now when the user attempts to set those records for deletion. They will be marked, they will be reported in errors that the linked data cannot be updated because it's not supported. As I mentioned, we have etiquette for addressing it in the future. Here is the example of the issue that user found confusing. When let's say we run the query in snapshot, there are significant issues with the data, inventory data in snapshot. So when the user gets the records that are fulfilling the search criteria, and the records are being displayed on the landing page in bug edit, as we have this errors and warnings accordion, bug edit reports on the issues that are with the data. So, for example, the node type is not populated, which is a required field, and another problems with the data. This is a future feature. We implemented it in Sunflower. So I don't know how we can communicate it better for the user of this is if this is just a matter of getting used to the way the bug edit reports problems with underlying data. If anyone has any suggestions, please let me know. And the last issue was related to resetting that we addressed with this new functionality that I started my part. The last slide has links to the UIT form, a link to all the responses if anyone is interested, and also has a link to all the tickets that are being created during the user acceptance testing. And I should have the link right here. It's in a bulk edit or Bella space in Wiki under UITs, bulk edit in UIT's issues and improvements by release. It contains all the tickets that were created by all UITs that we conducted from the beginning. And here are the tickets that we are creating and addressing. That was it from me. If there are any questions or comments, please let me know. Then I think we are done.
Yeah, thank you for your updates, Magda. I put this in the chat, but I'll also just say it out loud so it's on the recording as well. I found the error in my custom entity. It was when I pasted over that first source. I left out one of the properties by mistake, so it defaulted it to null. I went back and I changed it to true, which is what it should have been, and now it's working as expected.
Do you want to share the Postman change and how it works? We still have 10 minutes left.
Yeah, let me just make sure I have the right window up. Okay, perfect to do. So I already made this change, but what it looked like previously was on this instance source for the use ID columns. Instead of saying true here, it was null, like that, because it was added by the system when I created it. So that was incorrect. So I just came in here, changed this to be true, so that it would use ID columns. And then I sent that request. And then now, if I hop back over to Snapshot, I can do a variety of queries. So, like in this example, the source is not equal to Mark. If I change it to the source is equal to Folio and test it, you can see here that it returns 43 records that all have the source of Folio. I could do the same thing if I wanted to see my Mark records. And I'm able to see all of that data on it. So if I had not pasted over what was provided in the default Postman collection, it would have been okay for that custom entity. But I was pasting over it to make it a little bit more simple for the demo.
Kathleen, for the notes, can you say how long the UAT is open? So I can put it in there.
The technical one, the API one, is open through the 30th, and the workflow one is open through this Friday, which I think is the 23rd.
Okay. And they're both open today? Started
Yes,
today?
they're both open.
Open, and so the non-technical is open through the 23rd. Okay. Awesome.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Tori.
Yeah.
And unless anybody else has anything, we can wrap up a few minutes early. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.